as a freelancer, you have to do a lot of stuff. You have to be a lot of people at the same time. You have to be your accountant. You have to update your portfolio. You have to meet with clients. You have to respond to emails and messages. You have to apply for projects, and you may even have to create content if that's part of your strategy. Hey there, if you want to get into UX design, freelancing, or into any creative field, really, then you've come to the right place. I'm Sophia, nice to meet you, and in this podcast I share my own journey to becoming a UX freelancer. I share everything as I go through it, so you can learn from my mistakes and be inspired to keep going no matter what, because it will take a lot of hard work, but remember, we're in this together and we can grow much faster if we help each other out and learn from one another. I put out an episode every single Tuesday, and you can join the conversation on Instagram via the polls and the questions that I put out there. And now let's get into this week's episode. This week's topic is pricing creativity, especially design services. So it's not easy to put a price on something abstract like ideas, and it's even harder to sell that price to a client. And this is one of, I think, the hardest parts of becoming a freelancer, and one that put me more over the edge when I started out. I thought, what am I supposed to charge for this? Like, I had no idea. I asked my designer friends for their opinion a lot of times, and all of them said different values. All of them had a different opinion. I searched online for market prices and found a lot of different values as well. So it was all really, really confusing. And It's even harder because it's a topic very few people are comfortable talking openly about. Well, today I'm going to try to deconstruct how I approach pricing as honestly as I can. But keep in mind that each case is different. You're not going to charge the same as me because you're not me. You value different things than me. You have a different cost of life, especially if you live in a different country. You offer different services than I do, and you also offer them to different people than I do. And even if you offer the same service to the same people, you offer a different experience of that service. So it's always different. And before I start with the main content, I want to let you know that you can vote on which topic I'll tackle next by participating in my weekly Instagram polls. It's sofiadasilva.me, Sofia da Silva as my name, that is in the podcast platform, and the link is also in the episode description, so you can just click through there. I love getting to know my listeners, so you can go there and say hi, send me a message if you feel like it, and also participate in the polls, leave questions or give suggestions about topics or guests by message. Now let's get into the big question everyone asks about pricing, which is, should I price per hour or per project? If you've listened to other people talking about this debate, you probably heard very bad things about hourly pricing. And yeah, doing hourly work is often not a good idea, since you'll be punished by being efficient, you know? Like, if you start working faster, you will earn less. And that also gives you an incentive to do things slower, even if it's really subconscious. You might think, oh no, I'm being really transparent about this and honest about this, and I'm not going to work slower just to earn more. But even if you think that, probably subconscious you are doing that. I know that I do, and I'm really not aware of it at the moment. Just when I go back and see how much time I took on certain tasks in hourly work and then in per project, I see that I work slower on the hourly ones. And that is not always bad, because sometimes if you work slower, you get better results. But usually hourly pricing, it's also worse for the client, because he won't know for sure how much he's going to pay in advance. And it must suck to be expecting to pay like 400 euros for a project, and then a bill arrives for 600 euros and like, what the hell is going on? And this is also bad for you, the freelancer, because you also can't be sure of your cash flow this way, especially if you don't ask for anything in advance. And you should. You should always ask for at least 50% in advance, but that is a subject for another episode. So to answer the question about hourly versus per project, normally I think it's best to price per project because of all the reasons that I talked before. It allows you to earn more by becoming more efficient. So you can work really hard on your skills and on systems to make you more efficient and keep charging the same for the same result. And you earn more per hour. And that is a good incentive to have because you will become more efficient. Therefore, you will have more time and more freedom. And that is the goal. And this also makes you and the client feel more secure about the cash flow because you know in advance how much you are going to earn and the client knows in advance how much he's going to pay. But despite all of these disadvantages about hourly pricing, I still use it in some situations. For example, I have a recurrent client who I'm helping on what his team can't do, what they don't have time to do. So I don't have a fixed workload beforehand. Some stuff keeps coming out for me to do across the weeks. So it makes it impossible to price the project beforehand. And now you might be thinking, okay, but you could have a price table for each of the things they can ask for, and then you just have to go to that table, or you can even send them the table, and they will have the prices there. I could, but that would be, first of all, it would be really stressful to always give quotes and always send invoices, and it will also be inefficient. And it wouldn't work that well because there is not such thing as a business card or a banner or a social media graphic. Each work is different. It depends on a lot of factors. So I could very well lose money doing it with a table. And then it will be much harder to change the table, like to increase my prices when they already have the table. When they know exactly what each little thing costs. In this case, what do I do? In this case, I sell hourly packs. So this was actually the client that suggested to me to do it this way. I get paid in advance for like 20 hours. And when I reach that limit, I send another invoice for more 20 hours. So this solves the problem of my cash flow because I am getting paid in advance. So I know what I'm getting. And this only works if you trust the client and especially if they trust you fully, like 100%. I am not sharing any timer with them. They don't know how much time I spend on each activity. They can't be sure if I'm being honest with the hours. There is no way for them to do that. And actually, even I don't measure it to the minute. And the truth is, if I feel I'm doing stuff really, really fast and being really efficient and like that in that day I'm being like really, really productive, and that makes it that I'm being underpaid for the results because I'm being faster, I just skip some hours. I consider those 2 hours 3 hours because usually I will do that in 3 hours and now I'm just being more efficient. And actually, they were the ones to tell me to do this. They didn't want to be underpaying me. This hourly pack was just the easiest way to work with them at this moment. So as long as they were getting the results they wanted for a fair price, they didn't care if I was cheating on the hours. It was just making it easy for both of us. So I just use common sense and do my best to be honest about it and to do what's fair for everyone. And they are doing the same thing. So this is an example of a situation where I think hourly pricing works best. Because when it's someone you trust, this can work well. And pricing per project in this case will just be too much of a hassle. Like the time we both would spend sending invoices, paying invoices, and doing math for what is going to cost this part and then that part. Of course, when I send them the invoice for the hourly pack, I give an estimate. Okay, I think that with these hours, I can do this, 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 and this. And usually I underestimate that on purpose so that then if I overdeliver, they are happy. And it's worse if I said hours is going to the 3 things and then I only did 2. That will be, that will make them feel a little disappointed. So I try to do, okay, I'm sure that with these hours I can do X and X, And then I will try to also do X. All right, I don't even say anything. I just say I can do X and X. And then if I do the rest, then it's even better. Okay, so now that we got that question out of the way and we realized that there are specific situations where hourly pricing may work better, and there are more situations. In my case, that's the one that I have experience with. But use your common sense. If it works best for both of you to work on an hourly rate, then go for it. Just make sure that, I really recommend you do it like hourly packs. Like, you get paid in advance and then you use the hours, and then if they want more hours, they paid in advance. I think that's the fairest way to work hourly. So now, how do we turn this into an actual number? The first thing I recommend any of you to do, and this is what everyone recommends you do, is to reach your hourly rate. So even if you're priced by project, you need to know how much your time is worth so that you can make sure you are having a return on your time. And the first thing that you need to take into account are your needs and your goals. Not the market. Don't even think about the market before you sort this out, because you become a freelancer to earn money and freedom, because money gives you freedom. It's not the only thing that gives you freedom, but it is an important part. So your income should allow you to do that, should allow you to live the life that you want. Of course, that if you are starting out, you're probably not going to reach your goals instantly or in 2 months or even 1 year, maybe. But I want you to do the exercise anyway, because it will be like your North Star to work towards too. It will be your target. First, what I did, because this I did when I first moved out of my parents' house, because my expenses have been more or less the same since then. So first I figure out how much I need to cover my expenses. And this is not to survive. This is to live with a quality of life that I'm comfortable with. And this will be different for everyone. So think about that for you only. Think about that before I give you my example, so you're not anchored by it. And take into account your basic expenses to survive, your expenses with like eating out a reasonable number of times, buying clothes, doing activities that you like, that you enjoy doing, everything that makes you happy and it makes you live a good life, like not going overboard, like luxurious life, but a good life. And take also into account saving for trips, and also just savings in general, like to buy a house, to invest, or just to have a buffer. After that, you will need to make some calculations that may be really easy or may be really fucking hard, like tearing your eyes off, depending on where you live. And this is taxes. In my case, it's really hard, but I managed to do a spreadsheet where it makes the calculations for me automatically. But yeah, you need to account for taxes and figure out what is your gross income that you need to have that liquid income, like after taxes, that you need to live that life. So I don't know how to teach you to do this math, because it's different in every country. So by now you should have your minimum gross income for the life that you want. And the approximate value for mine, it's around like 2K. It's around that. I mean, this is not like the life that I want like 15 years from now or 10 years from now. It's a life I would be comfortable living today. Like, I will be happy to have this life today. Of course, it's not like the goal, like the big, big goal. Of course not. But this is the one that I will be happy with. And after you have your gross income, your target income, it's time to think about the freedom part. So how many hours would you like to work per week to reach that income? How many days per week? In my case, I would be happy if I worked 5 hours per day, 6 days per week on my freelance business. And this is because I prefer to spread the work in 6 days instead of working a lot in 5 days and then having 2 days free. I prefer it that way. And I also want 2 hours per day to work on other projects that are not my freelance business, like this podcast, for example. So I'm accounting for 7 hours of work per day, 6 days per week. I would be happy with that, mostly because some of the work I enjoy, so I don't mind working 7 hours per day, 6 days per week, including my project. And that will be 5 hours per day on freelancing, 6 days per week. But wait, don't start doing the rest of the math right now, because not all of this is client work. As a freelancer, you have to do a lot of stuff. You have to be a lot of people at the same time. You have to be your accountant. You have to update your portfolio. You have to meet with clients. You have to respond to emails and messages. You have to apply for projects. And you may even have to create content if that's part of your strategy. So estimate how much time you need per week to do those tasks. And then you subtract that to the total hours. So I still have to figure this out for myself better, how much time I need to take on these tasks. But I'll say for now that I need 10 hours per week for these tasks that are not client work. So the 5 hours per day, 6 days per week, gives me 30 hours per week on freelance work, minus the 10 that I take doing all those little tasks. It gives me 20 hours for client work per week. So I did some math before I started recording this podcast, and a month has approximately 4.3 weeks. So I multiply that by 20 and I will work for clients 84 hours per month. So I take the 2,000 of the income, like my target in gross income, and I divide that by the 84 hours, and that will give me an hourly rate of around 24 euros per hour. Okay, the more like mathematical part and confusing part is done. And you can find a lot of articles on how to do these calculations on other ways. This is the way that I do it. It's the way that makes most sense to me. However, this rate is your minimum rate for the life you want, but your target rate should be higher because of a couple reasons. One, because you won't and you shouldn't work all year round. You want to have vacations, right? Holidays. And yeah, you don't have paid holidays as a freelancer. If you don't work, you don't get paid. So you need to account for, like, have a margin for those vacations. And second, shit happens. You may not have clients a whole month, and in the next you have double the clients that you normally have. Client flow fluctuates a lot in freelancing. You can try to, like, to balance it more, but shit will always happen. So you need to take into account that and also be able to take breaks and holidays. So you should aim higher than your hourly rate that you reach in the previous step. So personally, I am currently aiming to reach 30 euros per hour. That is I would be happy with that. It isn't like the big goal, but I will be happy with that. And depending on where you live in the world, and especially where your clients live, this could be very achievable for starting out. Or you can be looking at this and like, what, 30 euros per hour? This is really, really out of my league. Either way, it's what you're working towards. And the 30 euros, it's mine. You need to reach yours because you are different than me. Everyone is different. Your cost of life is different, and what you value, how much work time you want to spend in your work is also different. So after you've done these calculations, if it feels like it's too high to start, then you can and you should start smaller, because if you don't have any experience, if you don't have a lot of portfolio work, you probably won't be able to live that life yet. So, but if you start too small, then it will be really difficult for you to make the jump, like to increase your prices. So there is another value, and you might be stuck in like in a roller coaster of I need more clients because I need more money, but I need like I need more high paying clients, but then I need more money, so I need more clients. And then you're always being underpaid and accepting being underpaid, And it's very difficult to escape that cycle. So there is another value that you should have in the back of your mind, and that is the minimum viable hourly rate. Like the minimum viable product, this is the minimum viable hourly rate, which is one that will cover your basic expenses, like your very, very basics, like you can live with it, plus the taxes. And it lets you work not more than the hours that it will take for you to burn out. Like you, for me, this is like working 8 to 9 hours per day, the 6 days per week, and maybe some like 2 or 3 hours on the other day. Like this will be a really heavy workload for me, but it will be manageable. But more than this, it will not be manageable. So you need to think about this. Think about what would be your maximum manageable workload, and then what is your value for covering your basic expenses plus taxes, and do all the math again like we did before, and you will reach like your minimum hourly rate, the one that allows you to survive, you know, to survive and be healthy. I guess for me that is around 11 or 12 per hour, and this should have been what I used for my very first design job, you know, but I didn't. I went lower than that, and I got stuck in that roller coaster of, yeah, I need to increase my prices, but I need money, so I need to accept this work, and then I wouldn't get the money that I needed, and it was just awful. So have this value in your mind, and like, even if you really, really, really need money to pay expenses, don't go under this value, because this is what allows you to like live, you know. So after this, how do we turn this into the price for an actual project? You first have to know more or less how much time you are going to take to do the project. So this is trial and error if you are starting out. Something that helps me a lot is using Toggle to track the time that I spend on each project. And this way I already know more or less how much time I take on a project like that. But if you are starting out, then you never did that. So it's just going to be trial and error. And once you have that estimate, you multiply that for your hourly rate and ta-da, you have a price. But you don't. There are more questions that you should ask yourself before giving a quote. This value you reach is your minimum pricing, but there are other questions, and these are some questions that I ask myself before giving a quote. First, I ask myself, is this a project that I will enjoy? Because if it's a project like that, I'm like, I can do it, but it's not really something that gets me excited and full of energy, then that should be more expensive. Because it will make it more worth it. It will make me have more free time. So it will make the suffering through that project worth it, I guess. Suffering is a really strong word for this. But it will make that boredom worth it because I'll have more free time. So I increase the price in that case. Second, is this a local business or like a one-person business or whatever? Or is it a big corporation? So what is the size of the client? Because if it's a big company, then you can ask for more, probably, because they have the money and they have higher expectations. So you will need more time to do the project, probably, and also it will allow you to have a more quality work. And also they won't take you seriously if you say a very low price. Third, will this be a good addition to my portfolio? I ask this question a lot, mainly because when I was doing the transition, like transitioning my client base, because I wanted to increase my prices and to specialize in something, I talked about this in another episode. I think it was the one that I tell you how I doubled my freelance income in 3 months. I think it was on that one. I talked about this process. And to get those first projects on my portfolio that really speak to the clients that I want to attract, for those specific projects that I saw would be a very good addition to my portfolio, I lowered my rate. So I didn't lower it below the 11 to 12 per hour that I told you that is my baseline. Actually, one I did, but it wasn't on purpose. It just ended up taking a lot more time. But I did it lower than the 24 that are my like my happy life, because they will help me. Actually, they did help me get better paying clients. They helped me build my portfolio to attract that specific kind of client. So they had value on top of the money. So that if it will be a really good addition to your portfolio and you don't have a strong portfolio, then you may consider lowering your price for those specific projects, not for any project, just those specific projects. And last but not least, this is actually the most important one in here, I think. Do I resonate with this business? Does this business align with my values? Do I believe in this? Because if it goes against my values, like really against my values, I will not even take the work. But then if it's just something that I don't really believe in, but doesn't go against anything, like it isn't like something that will do harm to the environment or to people, if it's just something that I don't really care about, then I increase the price because it's not something that I really, 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 really want to work on. So I increase the pricing so that it makes me have more free time to work on the things that I care about. That is my thought process. So after you take into account all of this stuff and your pricing may fluctuate a little bit up or a little bit down, there is a very, very important part that I want to address, which is profit margin. After all of this, I strongly recommend that you add a profit margin. Personally, I try to add like 20% on top to account for some things like underestimating the time it will take me to complete the project, because this happens to me a lot and I think it happens to every one of us. Two, some difficulties that may arise during the project like, that you can't predict. And third, the most important, saving money to reinvest in education or marketing or anything related to the business, because it is a business and the business should have a profit because you need to invest in the business for it to grow. And you may have some beliefs and some doubts about this. You may feel like you shouldn't be asking for more than what your time is worth. And I have an episode all about dealing with imposter syndrome, which is episode 5, and I really recommend you go listen to that if you are right now thinking, oh, but I shouldn't ask for this much. I should only ask for what my time is worth. Go listen to that episode because I go a lot deeper into that there. So this is my whole process for pricing at this time. And you may have realized that I didn't talk one single time about market prices. And this is because you choose your market. You don't have to fit into any market you don't want. So I think it makes more sense to figure out your price first and see, and after that, see where in the market you fit. Look for the clients that will pay that. But before, ask yourself if your skills, your portfolio, your experience, all of that, if they fit that market, because they may not. You may not be at that level yet. And if you are not, then you need to work on that. Work on your skills, work on your portfolio. Get some lower paying jobs to build up that experience. And while you are at it, you may practice lower prices, yeah. But never, ever, ever less than your minimum viable hourly rate. Like the one that lets you cover your expenses and lets you work without burning out and lets you be healthy. That is your minimum price, please. With, this is more important, this price with the profit margin on top, because that will allow you to, especially if you are not really aware of how to estimate how much time you're going to take yet, that will make you feel safer about that. Having a profit margin on top, and also for investing in your education. If you need to do this, if you are a full-time freelancer, then you need to cut your expenses to the minimum so that that rate can sustain you. Temporarily, of course, because then you should increase your prices as soon as you have the skills and the portfolio to reach the higher clients. If you still have a full-time job, then you'll just keep your full-time job until you are able to increase your prices to sustain yourself and you are able to reach the market that you want. So this is my take on pricing. I don't really think you should care about what the price is in your market, because you have people doing logos for €5 on Fiverr, and you have people charging 20,000 for a logo. So the market price doesn't exist. It exists the price for that specific client. And even then, the services of each freelancer have a different pricing because they have a different experience. You deliver different customer experiences and different quality of work. So there is no market price. There is your price. That is what you need to figure out. There is a lot more to talk about this topic, but I believe we are reaching half an hour of time. So I chose to give you an overview on how I dealt with pricing until today for you guys that are starting out and are confused about where to start. But there is another model of pricing that I will start investigating after I reach my income goals, those 30 euros per hour, working those 5 hours per day. After this, I will start to think about that model of pricing, which is value pricing. But that is for another episode in the future. When I'm at that stage, this is not something that you should be worrying about when you are starting out. Even though Chris Doe and Rand Segal, they all talk about value pricing, but that isn't for beginners, okay? It's really difficult to do value pricing for beginners. So focus on getting your business off the ground and start getting comfortable with giving your quotes. Because that is the most important thing, is to be comfortable with the pricing that you are giving. Actually, let me rephrase it. It's important to feel confident, like minimally confident, but it's also important to be a little uncomfortable with your pricing. If you're like really, really, really comfortable with the pricing that you're saying, then it's probably low. You should push it a little bit higher than what you're comfortable with. And if the client says it's too expensive, you always have a margin for negotiation. And if even then he says it's too expensive, then it's just not the client for you. That's just facts. So yeah, please share this episode with a freelancer friend in trouble if you think that it will be helpful for them. If you want to have in your inbox weekly updates and rants, like random thoughts that I didn't make it into the podcast, then you can sign up for my newsletter. The link is in the episode description and also in my link in bio in Instagram. So do that if you feel like it's something that you want. And yeah, hope I helped you be more confident with your pricing, and talk next week.